I'm Anna David, and I interview actors, writers, musicians, and other creatives about addiction, recovery, and sharing their dark to find their light.
Well, I think that all my heroes were drug addicts.
This podcast features both the interviews and the stories. The interviews often share the dark. The stories often share the light.
Oh, yes. I had 8 butt cakes while watching 35 Forensic Files, but I did not drink.
Are you a light hustler? Keep listening to find out.
And I was like, really? Like, that's you? That's it? That's what I am? I'm just bad at being uncomfortable? So simple, and it also makes me feel like such a dick.
Hi, guys. Anna David here with the podcast Light Hustler. It's about addiction recovery and sharing your dark to find your light. This is one of those episodes that's from my live storytelling show. It's somebody you've heard before. He's so good. He's a character. He's, as they say, a character. His name is Bucky Sinister. We're going to get into him in a second. Oh, who am I? If you're new to the podcast, hi, I'm a writer. I have a new book out called How to Get Successful by Fucking Up Your Life. I'm also the CEO of the company Light Hustle Publishing. We write, edit, and publish books for entrepreneurs and other thought leaders. And that's enough from me. Please give it up for Bucky Sinister. I am going to bring up our first performer. He is a regular at the show. He is sitting right behind me. He's the author of, I think, 9. I don't think he knows how many books. 9 books?
Yeah, I think it might be 7. I'm not sure.
Between 7 and 9, let's call it 8, including the very hilarious novel Black Hole. Give it up for Bucky Sinister.
All right. I'm going to start my timer because I have no sense of time anymore. Thanks for coming, you guys. I'm going to take this out. Well, not quite that short. I have 14 of my original teeth left, and I have 16 years sober. So that's some kind of milestone, right? Like it's like when you do your sobriety years past your teeth years. I think that's good. You guys could also probably guess which drugs I liked by that remark. It's past. I think there should be a store though. I think there should be a store where you could just buy old gifts for exes. That you like in that box of stuff that your ex left behind in the closet, you can take that down there. Just like a store of just all exes items that you can't either give back to them. You don't know where they are or they're in prison or something. Speaking of prison, I want to talk about a bad date choice that I made, this being right past Valentine's Day. I had just gone through I was probably in my late 20s. This is about 1999 there. And yes, we were partying like that. And still obviously very much using, drinking, everything. And so I just come off this long, horrible relationship. There was no sex in it. Everything died out. So I was like a young man, very randy. And I thought, well, you know, just the next person who shows any interest is getting, you know, the date of her lifetime. So I go to this party and, all of a sudden people just start streaming out of the living room. They just can't get out of this room fast enough. So of course I have to go in there and see what's happening. And, there's this woman standing on a coffee table, with a mohawk, she's, rapping. Word for word, along with Rapper's Delight, that's on the stereo. So I was like, that one, please. And so as soon as she's done, I was like, yeah, I think it's really cool that you like both punk and hip hop. Me too. And she goes, do you like Adam Sandler movies? And I was like, what? Do you like Adam Sandler movies? I was like, yeah. It's like, do you want to watch The Wedding Singer? I was like, I guess. Like right now? I'm like, okay, sure. And she's like, I have a copy of it. Come with me. So she takes me into a bedroom in there and puts on, she has a VHS. It's a VHS days. Some of you may not know what those are, but it was a way we used to watch movies. And so she had a VHS of The Wedding Singer in her purse. And she put it in this VCR and we start watching this movie and, you know, things are kind of progressing. kind of cuddling a little bit, start making out. The movie's pretty good, I guess. And then at some point, you know, things get a little bit heavier. The movie's about to be over, and someone comes in the room and kicks us out. And then we move into the living room, and we do what young people do on the couch. And she gives me her number, and I leave. And she said, call me, and we'll go out. And so I call her, and she's like, there's this death metal band playing at Mission Records, which was this tiny little venue in San Francisco where the only place I let death metal bands play. I was like, kind of like the Nordic black metal church-burning music. Just real nice date stuff. And we go there, and I see who she's hanging out with, and I'm like, oh, she's not into speed metal. She's into speed and metal. And I just quit doing meth, like, just recently. And it was because it was that bad 90s meth. I don't know if you guys remember. It wasn't that nice, like, kind of more gentle, naive 80s meth that we used to do, right? Like, back in the 80s, it was a kinder, gentler meth. You would just get a little bag of it, and you could still snort it then. It was so innocent. And you snort a line of meth, and then you just stand outside Gazari's and think Poison sounded pretty good. That's all it did to you. The weird paranoid stuff came later. So I was like, oh man, I just quit doing meth. I can't go back to that. So I saw who she was hanging out with. And I was like, look, if you want to do whatever you want to do on your own time while you're on a date with me, please don't do any meth. And she's like, oh, okay. And then about half an hour later, she's just completely lit up. And I was like, come on, I know, I can tell. And I thought the date was over. And I went home. The next day I came home from work, and she was sitting outside my house. And I said, hey, what's going on? How do you know where I live? And she's like, I'm really sorry about how the date ended. And I'm not on meth right now. Can I come in and talk? And she did. I have to say at this point, you know, she was really hot, and I was easily fooled. I didn't see past a few simple things I should have seen. I'll get back to that in a second. I got to say what happened at this point. You know, as we're spinning, you know, we start drinking together, we get really loaded, and then we start doing it again. And this is a little, I don't know how else to say this. I start going down on her, and right up on her thigh, she has a tattoo, but it's really dark in that room and I can't see what it is. But I'm pretty sure it's a tattoo of a vagina. I think it's a tattoo of a pussy next to her pussy. And I was like, why would someone do that? Why would this, is it a decoy? You know, is this like when the coyote paints like the fake tunnel for the Roadrunner? Am I like, but like, you know, just whatever, in case like you're about to get assaulted or something, like, you know, someone might put in the thigh and then you have a chance to get away. I don't know. It's not the worst idea. In the light of the day, the next morning, I see it for what it is. It's a John Wayne Gacy clown face. It's a Pogo the Clown right there, right? I had, you know, my cheek nuzzled against old John. And I, you know, start to rethink things, but I'm still not really. I mean, she's pretty cool. She's got a mohawk. She dresses real well. You know, maybe we can see past this. So I'm out on Valencia Street. I go into my friend's clothing store. My friend Heather ran his clothing store, and it was her party that I met Mohawk Girl at. And she yells across the room, "Who is that tweaker you fucked at my house?" And I said, "That was your roommate? Or is that who you're talking about?" She's like, "That wasn't my roommate. Nobody knew her." She wandered into the party. She dropped all her dirty, tweakier, crusty punk clothes and took my roommate's clothes, put them on, and walked out with them. You either need to get her clothes back or give me $200. And this is when it started to put together that my date was a homeless gutter punk. And, you know, I just didn't see it. And from there, I start hearing very disturbing stories around town. People saying things like, "Hey, man, I met your girlfriend the other night. We were over at the Midtown, and the original McCarthys were playing, and the lead singer said that her mohawk made her look like a man. So she beat the crap out of him, and the show ended." And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's actually pretty cool." And then, but I was like, "She's not my girlfriend, but I do know who you're talking about." And she just kept showing up everywhere that I was. Somehow she found out. I tried to go on a date with someone else, and she interfered. She showed up at the bar we were at and was just like, "Get away from my man." And kind of cleared the bar out. Everyone was kind of afraid of her, and I didn't, it just took me forever to figure it out. So finally, like after, like, you know, I was like, "How do I get rid of her? Like, what do I do? She's starting to scare me now." And she approached me one time, like at my house. She was on the porch when I got home from work, and she said, "I got some bad news. My boyfriend just got out of prison, and I'm hopping a train to go see him. So I think it's over." And I was like, I'm really upset, and you know, I'm trying not to look too eager to let this thing break up. You know, I want her to break up with me, but I don't want to look like it, like I'm too eager. And, cause I'm still a little afraid. And, so I was like, I'm really heartbroken, but I think that's best for both of us. So there you go. So I dated a homeless lady for a couple weeks. Things are a little bit different now. And, I'm still kind of clueless as far as dating goes. I'm dating someone now. I did not know that we were dating until she got me back to her house. It was kind of like a pigeon trap. If you've ever seen that, with a cardboard box and a stick and a string, I just kind of live my life, and all of a sudden, and every once in a while, the cardboard box falls over me, and I realize, oh, I have a girlfriend. Okay, and that's pretty much how it goes. All right, that's it for me.